Love you, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may have a seat. How many people have missed Pastor Josiah preaching? We have had some phenomenal preachers the last little while, but I gotta admit, he's my favorite preacher, and I feel like Josiah preaching depleted or something. But he is excited. He's got a word on his heart. He was telling me stuff last night, and I was partially confused and partially intrigued. And so this is going to be an amazing message. I encourage you to lean in, take notes if you so desire, and expect God to give you something for your life. Because if you listen with ears that maybe God's going to say something to you, then he's going to speak to you. So would you give a round of applause to our very own Pastor Josiah?
How's everyone doing this morning? I had to say it twice, just waited till the mic was on. Yana, it's good to see you. I didn't see you earlier. Good to see you. Hey, thank you for being in church this morning. How many of you got to church really easily this morning? And then there's the rest of us. That this was not the easiest place to get in the morning. Maybe it was because our signage was bad. Maybe it was because something was trying to keep you from there. Maybe you have children, and that just is enough answer in itself. I am so happy that you have made it not only a priority, but you've made it a fight to make it here this morning. And in your Christian walk or in your search for who Jesus is, there will be times where you will have to fight to discover some things. But I promise you, on the other end of the fight, it will be worth it. I want to take a moment. I have been away. I was away last week, and 2 weeks ago we had our one conference, and I don't know exactly what took place last week other than I know it was Mother's Day, and there was a game and some sort of superhero drawing. That was the highlight of someone's service, so that was great. And I know we had herbs for that, but I wanted to take an opportunity, and I am putting everyone on the spot because I didn't tell anyone about this. Is there anyone who would love to share a testimony or, you know, your story from one conference? I will leave it for about 5 minutes until you say something. Does anyone have a particular story from one conference? This was a conference we had 2 weeks ago. You know, maybe there's something that God spoke to you about. I could start pulling names, but I'm giving you time until I start doing that. But anyone have like a one conference story they'd love to share? You guys are testing me to see if I'll start pulling you up. Yeah, Lindy, come on up. We'll need this mic on too, Jacob. This is Lindy. It'll be on.
Hello. I don't remember exactly what the altar call was for, but I went up. Oh, it was for something to do with, like, what do you know God is telling you to do, and you're just not doing it, it's too scary or whatever. And I knew that it was family relationships. I don't really have a close relationship with a lot of my family and my husband's family. Like, I do, but it's not how it should be. And so I went up for prayer for that. And then following that, I was like, okay, God, how do I do this? Do I need to write a letter to the people that I'm mad at, that they're not doing what they're supposed to do in the part of the relationship? And I was like, okay, I got a feeling like, no, that's not what I'm supposed to do. So I was like, okay, God, I give it to you. And then it just, things have just been happening since. Yeah. My daughter doesn't have a relationship with a certain person in her family, and she is now going to be, and I didn't initiate this. We just went over and said hi, and they said, hey, how about every one day a week, she come over and visit with me? And I was like, okay. And then another person, there's a big thing that I'm trying to do, like a big job that I'm trying to be an artist, but, and there's a big job that I had to put in a really humongous quote for, and I was terrified, and they accepted the quote, and they said that they received a really good reference from somebody, and I was like, from who? From who? And I found out it was from a family member that I was like, what? Why would they even say that? And she's like, oh no, they really like you. And I was like, what? And she's like, yeah, they said you totally know what you're doing and you totally would do an awesome job. And it was just, so a lot of things have been happening like that since. I've been like, okay, God, I don't know how to do this, but I give it to you.
Come on. Very good. Very good. Hey, why don't we get two more? I'm priming you. Two more. Anyone else? Yeah, come up. You were in that conference. I should have looked before I said come up. All right, this is Andrea. I don't know what she's going to say.
I actually didn't get the opportunity to attend one conference, yeah. But the light that I see in everybody's eyes and the fire that I can kind of sense in everybody's souls that was there is really inspiring that I don't want to miss any conference. So
come on.
To inspire people to go, man, just look it around at everybody who went because it's just like, oh, man, I missed out. So, yeah.
That's awesome. It's very odd to get, like, a promotion from someone who didn't go. That is great. One more. She's even playing the awkward piano. Come on, Chris. You can bring... is that Ben? Okay. I saw you with two children yesterday, so I'm just checking.
No, I decided to keep my own today.
Yeah, that's good. We like it when you keep your own child at church. This is Chris and Benji.
Can you say hi? Can you say hi, Goose?
You want to say hi, Benji? No.
So this is a little bit tough, but before conference, my wife and I were not sure about what we were going to do, about where we're going to live, if we were going to stick around Revelstoke. We felt so much pressure to leave, as I know so many people have. And just the financial aspect of what it's like to live in this town. I mean, the devil knows that something's going on here. Mm-hmm. And he's trying to shake us and trying to get us to move out of here. And as soon as we heard the opportunity about Vernon and the C3 Church in Vernon, we were like, well, hey, is this timing? God, is this you telling me that we need to go to Vernon? Because I'm not going to lie, I don't like Vernon. I never did. Growing up as a child, I've been to Vernon many a times. I didn't like Vernon. And I felt a very big conviction in my heart. And God's like, you need to make a decision. You need to decide if you're going to stay in Revy, if you're going to go to Vernon. Because I know that I'm going to use you wherever you're at. And you need to commit. And a lot of you know that I've been in this church for 27 years, my entire life. And I didn't know. I wasn't sure if I needed to stay. I mean, I'm the son of the house, but I wasn't sure if I needed to actually fully commit. And I had an opportunity to speak with Pastor Dave last week, and he kind of opened my eyes to some things that I heard God tell me at conference. And he said, you know what? You're son of the house. You've been planted here without you realizing it. And you need to stay. And that was very hard for me to hear. Because for years now, since my wife and I got married, I thought that we were going to actually move to the Kootenays, believe it or not, go a little bit closer to my wife's family. But God's really tugging on my heart and saying, no, Revelstoke is your home. It's been your home. Don't go anywhere because I need to use you. Mm-hmm. And so the biggest thing for us right now is, believe it or not, we feel like we need to actually buy property in this town. Mm-hmm. And that's the scariest idea in my world ever. I never thought that I would ever be able to buy a house, let alone buy a house in Revelstoke. So that is my next hurdle. Mm-hmm. And that's my next fear. And that's my next challenge. And I guarantee you, in the fall, you're going to see us moving into a new house. I don't know where it is. I don't know how it is. I have no idea how financially God's going to do it. But he's going to get us a house. And we're going to plant roots. And we're going to have everybody over. And we're going to have a great big huge party and celebrate the fact that God is totally shifting stuff, all right? So that's what we got out of conference is we're actually staying in Revelstoke. Incredible.
So good. Well, that was worth taking some time for. Can I give this to someone? Here, Tony, catch. It was the first person I thought could catch. Hey, I said the first. I didn't say the only. I said the first. The first does not mean you're alone. Come on. Hey, that was terrific. Hannah, you're wonderful. I have appreciated you. You can take a seat, though. That is awesome. I have not heard any of those testimonies before, so that is absolutely terrific. Yeah, very, very cool. One Conference was amazing. This would be like the right time to plug One Conference. Just take that as the plug for One Conference next year. Two details about that, actually. Two details about that. I love our team here. They're just so on it. Is if you've tried to register online, it hasn't worked. I got a message today, though, that it is now working. So if you go to do that, and if anyone submitted a registration during conference, your registration hasn't been processed just because that form hasn't been working. So you'll see that get processed this week. Second note is Pastor Colin Blouse, I don't know. Pastor Colin has confirmed, so he's no longer invited guest. We just haven't updated that yet. So just so you're aware, and I just got that. I think I got that message this week too. So it's going to be absolutely amazing. Pastor Colin and Pastor Beth, they are campus pastors of Hope City Church, Sheffield, England. Their church building is an old garden tool factory, which is pretty funny. But they're really a terrific couple, and they serve underneath Pastor Dave and Jenny Gilpin, who have a multi-site church in England. That's the information. Hey, I don't want to spend any more time on this. Oh, thank you, people, for renewing my time. I just got new time right there. I thought I was going to have to use up all that time. I am really excited to preach this morning. I have not preached to you in 6 weeks. I have, for those of you who I haven't had the opportunity to meet, my name's Pastor Osai, along with, you know, the stunning woman on stage. That is my wife. We get the privilege of being campus pastors here. And we are campus pastors, but to be honest, that's not all we are. You know, that's sort of the title we have. We've had many titles over the years. I really wanted to have an exciting title at one point in time in the church. So I got business cards made. Pastor Dave did not approve them. I just got them made. And it was called the Assimilation Coordinators or Assimilation Directors. Do you remember what it is? I don't know. It was, but I felt super important with that title. Does anyone know what that is? Probably not. I showed the business card to someone who wasn't in church once, and they're like, that sounds scary. I'm like, hmm. Anyways, we have many different titles, and really our title doesn't define what we do. What I actually believe, just so you're all aware, what I believe my job is to do anything Pastor Dave and Kim asks me to do that releases them to do what they're meant to do. So what am I really? Whatever. That's what I am. There's a lot of things that I have skills in, and there's a lot of things that I do not have skills in, and you will see me do both. Because it's not a, and whether you want to or not, you will see me perform in both avenues, because the idea is not about whether it's my strength or whether it's my weakness, it's about whether it's my service or anything else. And that's really what I want to touch on today. So I'm going to pray. I'm going to do my sermon a little different than my standard rotation. So we're going to start with prayer instead of with scripture, but we'll get to the scripture. Is that all right? I know. Change. Why don't you bow your heads? I'm going to pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that your presence is here. God, let that be what permeates or what sits among every person here. It's not about anything I have to say. It's about your presence speaking to people. God, I love the things that I've already experienced in this service, that amazing worship, the amazing word from Pastor Kimberly. God, we thank you that your presence sits within every element of that. God, that we are not restricted by just hearing you in worship or hearing you in word. We can hear and encounter you by the greeter on the front door. God, I thank you that your presence is here and that we value that and we take time and leave time for it this morning. Be in this message. Help me to preach what you need to be heard. And that's it. Amen. All right, so I want to share a message with you. The media team will throw it up on the screen probably, but I didn't give them a lot of notice. So anything, here's what you need to know. Every time I preach, anything the media team does that looks like they did it wrong is actually my fault, okay? So just... there you go. So we're going to start, and I'm going to give you my title of the message because I highly encourage you to be taking notes. You will get far more out of a sermon if you take some notes. It's amazing. Years ago, when I was in Bible college, when I would take notes, it was amazing at the end of the message when I had no idea what the message was about because God had been speaking to me the whole time. And it's actually fine if God speaks to you because it's sort of more important than if Josiah speaks to you. So I encourage you to take notes because it's another avenue and opportunity for God to speak to you this morning. Because isn't that really what we want? Yeah. Did you come here just to hear great music or see a stylish man? Because you'll be highly disappointed if that's what you came for. If you came here to encounter God or to find out who this person is, that is what I'm hoping you encounter today. So we'll go to this message. I know I'm taking a little while. This is not the right spot. Let's find it. It's 1 Corinthians 9:19. I know, but my Bible's got so many colors in it. It just feels so good. I need to get a new one. You know, when I start losing parts of it is when I start realizing it's not the whole word of God anymore. Okay, so 1 Corinthians 9. Yeah. Russ laughed. Russ laughed for me. Thank you, Russ. 1 Corinthians 9:19, we're going to start here. It says, "For though I am free from all men, I have made myself a servant to all that I might win the more. To the Jews I become as a Jew that I might win Jews, to those who are under the law as under the law that I might win those who are under the law." This is Paul, an early church leader speaking, and he was a Jewish man. He found Jesus outside of Judaism. And he wasn't a great person. He wasn't the poster child. He wasn't who we would choose to talk about Jesus. So he's an interesting character when he talks about these things, because he has quite the perspective of the both. And he has been a Jew, or is a Jew. He's probably undecided a little bit. And to the Jews, I become a Jew that I may win the Jews, that they don't blah, blah, blah. For those who are under, or those who are without the law is without law, not being without law toward God, but under law toward Christ. That's a really interesting thing. I encourage you to dig deeper into what that just brackets means. That I might win those who are without law. To the weak, I become as weak. How many of you want to say that with me? I become as weak. Can we omit that? To the weak I become as weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men, that I might by all means, by any method possible, by whatever I have in front of me, whatever's in my hand, whatever's at my resources, whatever means I have, save some. Yeah, wouldn't it be great if it said by all means save all? Yeah. It doesn't even tell us if some is one, two, or three. But it says it's all our means. It's all our means, and it's some return. Now, this I do for the gospel's sake, that I may be partaker of it with you. Moving on to verse 24. Do you not know that those who run in a race Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. The prize. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. I'm not a big word guy, so I have to Google search, dictionary search words like temperate. You know, but it talks about the idea that you're restricting yourself. Right. I have heard that people who go to the gym restrict their diets sometimes or restrict their time sometimes. Right. This is what I hear. Now, they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. They do it to obtain something on earth, and we do it to obtain something that is not of earth. Therefore, I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus, I fight not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body. I discipline my body. And bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. This is one of the most dangerous messages a preacher can ever read in the Bible. But I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. It should feel like as a preacher that if I preach the gospel, that should be enough to save me. But even that is not actually enough to save me. I actually have to have not just a relationship with the Bible and a relationship with Christ that I can preach to you, but one that I can live myself. I hate the fact I still have to be a Christian as a preacher. There's still people who offend and upset me, and I still have to learn forgiveness, even if they're in my church, just like you. This is an amazing verse. And I'm really actually mostly going to touch just on the very first verse, but I really like the whole chunk, so I thought I'd read it all together. And I want to give you sort of three excerpts from it that came to me as I was studying on this. And hopefully by the end of this, you'll have a different perspective on some things than you had when you came in. And I want to touch on three points of this one verse. It says, "For though I am free from all men, I have made myself a servant to all that I might win the more." Why don't you say that with me? For though I am free from all men, I have made myself a servant to all, that I may win the more. It's an interesting verse. Paul's talking. He's talking as a man who's been in the Jewish faith, encountered Jesus that's radically changed him, and he's trying to figure out some things about this. So there's three parts I want to extrapolate for this, and the first that really struck my attention in the title of my message, I never gave you the title, did I? But the title of my message, which you're going to put at the top of your notes, and it's going to change your world this morning, is Though I Am Free. Let me write that. Though I am free. It's a loaded statement. Yeah. Though I am free. It'd be a lot better to just say, I am free. Though I am free, it seems to encapsulate this idea that though I have freedom, I've made a decision otherwise. I am free. I have grace. I have freedom. But though I am free. So first thing I want to talk about is though I am free. There's this essential necessity for us in our Christian walk or in our relationship with Jesus, in our search for Jesus, is to discover this first thing, primary out of all things, is though I am free, is this, I am free. How many of you have that revelation in you? Sometimes we think we do, sometimes we really do, and other times we don't think we do at all. I am free. I am free is an interesting statement because it talks about our identity. Paul understood the idea of being identified, you know, in the Jewish faith, it was all about what you did and what you didn't do. There was a really easy way to stay in good posture with people. It was to do the right things and not do the wrong things. Your position determined what you did and what you didn't do, where you acted good and where you acted bad, what you condemned and what you celebrated. But he's understanding something at this moment, that he is now a free man. He's not bound by these things. We call it in church, we call it grace. We call it the gospel of grace. So actually those brackets I was talking about where Paul says, you know, I'm no longer in the law to God, I'm in the law to Christ. Christ's law versus God's law. He's talking about the difference of the law that was rules and restrictions, and then he's talking about the law of grace. Okay? I see some following me. We'll get there. I am free. Here's the thing you need to understand. The I am free is a place of identity. It's where you need to stand on to be able to move forward. We need to get the revelation that you are free in Christ. Otherwise, all these other things will become hang-ups. Right. Now, here's what I'm learning all the time about my Christian walk, is that although I say you need to get this, and it needs to be I am free, you need to get this revelation, the reality is you need to get that revelation like every day or hour. Yeah. Yeah. It's a journey. And I might have remembered it yesterday, and I might need to remember it after the server forgets my meal at lunch. We're constantly having to be reminded of this. But the foundation is that we are in a place and a position that I am free. Why don't you say that with me? I am free.
I am free.
Okay, that wasn't everyone. Let's try it again.
I am free.
Okay, that was like 90% of people. It was great. That's a high percentage in church, so that's awesome. I am free. It's your identity. It's about grace. Yeah. This is the first thing that I want to talk about. You know, I am free, though I am free. Second thing I want to talk about, and this is where we'll sit for a little while, it's the second point. So it says, for though I am free from all men, I have made myself a servant. So here's the second point I want to say is, I have made. Great. That worked. I am free, but then I have made. There's a lot of things, you know, this is just being a candid pastor at the moment, there's a lot of things I would like to make you. There's a lot of things I would like to make you. Some of you get it, some of you won't. It's all right. But there's an interesting thing about the I have made. It sort of ties right into the though at the start. You know, I've got this identity where I understand that I am free, but then I've got this place where I'm moving from I am free to though I have made. It's an action. It's an action that tells me I'm going to do something different than my default. Because my default isn't going to get me to the place that I need to get to. Well, let me say that again. My default will not get me to the place I need to get to. Yeah, it's good. So I need to take some time to go from though I am free to I have made. I joke about the fact, well, it's not really a joke, but I joke about the fact that I would like to make you a lot of things. But in reality, it doesn't matter what I want, it's what you want. Because it doesn't say they have made. It says, I have made. I have made myself something, which means it wasn't what you were default. It wasn't what you were naturally. It wasn't what you were when all the other pressures didn't exist. It was something you made a choice to do. It was something you chose to change in your world to make yourself into something for some reason. Now, we actually don't have usually that big of an issue with this statement because we all actually have made ourselves into something. The Bible talks about making yourself a living sacrifice. It talks about making a living sacrifice to Jesus, right? Like we can get that pretty quickly. Yeah. Anyone get that? Yeah, pretty yeah. Okay, good. So we can understand that. But unfortunately, we're actually pretty good about making ourselves into things or being a living sacrifice. Just usually it's for our job or our relationships or that position I want or that house, that dream. Or maybe you're the entirely opposite person, which unfortunately I find myself more often, is I have made myself a sacrifice so that I will not be that person or not have that relationship or not be stuck in that position or not. You get where I'm going? We actually don't naturally have an issue making ourselves a sacrifice. We just have naturally an issue making ourselves a sacrifice to the right thing. I like at the end of this chunk of verses in verse 23, it's not verse 23. I lied. I know, from the platform. I don't know why I can't see it. That's right. Here we go. 22. It was the verse before that. All means. In any way at all is how that defines. In any way at all. It makes it easy for us to understand how sometimes we've made ourselves a sacrifice to other things. I remember coming out of a relationship and it didn't end, and it wasn't a good relationship, and coming out and realizing that I have made it my anything at all to save that relationship. I would sacrifice anything in my life as long as that remained. And it's funny, when you lose the thing that you sacrificed yourself for, when it happens, or if it happens, I probably would be mostly confident to say when it happens. Because you can't, nothing that can be an idol in your life can sustain it. Only Jesus was designed for worship. So everything else that we sacrifice, which is what we're worshiping and making an idol in our lives, it actually can't sustain it and it will break eventually. So when that breaks and you step out from that place, you can't figure out how you got to where you got to, how you made the sacrifices you did with all the things that you would never sacrifice for all it is, but you made something more important than it was ever supposed to be, because you're not supposed to become a sacrifice to things or other things. There's only one person you're meant to be a living sacrifice to, and that's Jesus. You know, and it sounds, I have to apologize, this is not going to be a very encouraging message for you to make a relationship with Jesus today. Because it might just be a bit more honest than some of the ones we have. A little more honest about some of the journey that we have to go through once we have a relationship with Jesus. Because Jesus isn't about just letting you be. He will, but he's really hoping that you'll be more. Because he sees so much more in you. He's really hoping you'll make a decision to change some things in your world. That you'll, I make myself. Here's something you got to know about the I have made. You know, we're talking about making yourself a living sacrifice or an offering, or basically giving yourself up for something else. Jesus will never ask you to give up something greater than he has for you. There's a story in the Bible, if you want to look at it, it's usually called the rich young ruler. Look at that. That'll give you a great picture where we, from a hindsight perspective, look and know, oh, you missed out on what Jesus had for you. He did not see it that way. All he saw was Jesus asking him to give something up. Here's something else you need to know. Jesus is going to ask you to give something up, and it's going to be something you want and like. And value. It would be really nice if Jesus said, get rid of the things you don't like. He doesn't say that. He says, do you trust me more than the things you love? He will always ask you to give something up that you like, love, that's great, that's good, that's tasty. I don't know how many times my wife asks me to give up ice cream sandwiches. It's something good he'll ask you to give up. Because he's trying to tell you, I have something better. He will always ask you to give something up good, and he will always have something better on the other side. Because when I give something up good, I really have to know if I'm sacrificial, if I've sacrificed myself, if I've given up myself, if I trust God. Giving up bad things is not an easy way to trust God. Is this all right? Everyone's quiet-ish. You're allowed to be louder if you want, or you're allowed to be solemn. That's just Jesus speaking to you. I don't know. Only he knows. Here's the second part of this that I want to talk about in the same point I have made, right? So I would really like to make you some things. For those of you who haven't quite picked up what that means. I don't mean baking you a cake. It means if I could change you, I would love to change you. I would love to make some changes. Just like, you know, my wife would really love to make some changes in me. I would really love to make some changes in her, you know, and equally so, right? We all, you know, this sounds really bad, but it's just really human more than anything else. I'm sorry for being a human still. Here's the other part of this. So I have made, so I am free. So here we have Paul talk about, though I am free, I'm going to make myself this. He then talks about making himself a Jew and then making himself someone who's not a Jew. So I'll be that, and then I'll be that. I'll be weak, I'll be this. He's not just talking about making himself into something that he naturally is or wants to be or is his strength. This will be hard for some of you to hear. God's calling on your life has nothing to do with the strengths on your life. Because God has never asked you to serve me in your strengths. He's asked you to serve me. In fact, there's actually a Bible verse that talks very much about serving him in your weakness. It's a funny thought. It's not something we like to think about a lot. But here's my hypothesis, is that in my weakness, it's usually easier for me to understand that it's God. Wait, sorry, let me change this from a hypothesis. Why don't I just read you this scripture for a second? It says, 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9 to 10, it says, and he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and needs and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. We love this verse when it talks about the things that we are not capable of accomplishing in ourselves. We love this verse when it's about, you know, our sin weaknesses or our relational weaknesses or these sort of things. But it's not just about that. It actually is about the things that you're not skilled at too. Here's the second part, which I'm going to, this is actually the first part that I'm going to read second. Does that make sense? So we read 2 Corinthians 12, 9 to 10. Now let's read 2 Corinthians 12, verse 8. It says, and lest I shall be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. There's something in God about using your weaknesses to exalt himself. There's something in God about knowing when you operate out of your weaknesses that it's God and it's not you. There's something about these times I've been in a worship service years ago where the worship team was horrible. They did not know how to play their instruments. The timing was all bad. And unfortunate as I could say it, the Spirit of God was there. Because he loves to sit on the presence of someone who will serve him. Too often we get caught up in trying to serve him in our strengths. But here's the problem about that. I can actually operate in my strengths fine. It's fairly easy for me to continue doing the things I'm good at without ever including God. It doesn't really teach me a whole lot about myself because I like my strengths. I'm a pretty good sound guy. I get flown around Canada to do sound, so good. I'm not a very good dancer. There's some things I'm not very good at, but I've learned something, and I have to say that properly, is I'm learning something. This week, I sent a message to Pastor Dave. I realized as I was prepping this that I needed to send him a message to say, what do you need done? It's not what I want to do, what he responded. He did not respond things I would like to actually send back and say, hey, you know what? That's actually not in my giftings or my strengths. I suggest you, come on, is anyone hearing me? Yeah. For a moment? Yeah, that's actually not what God asked you to do. God asked you to serve him. Yeah. Wow. Now, a great leader knows to use people in their strengths where their strengths are. But who here, although Myrna did a great job this morning, whose strength is putting out offering envelopes this morning? Yeah, right. You know, whose strength is cleaning toilets this morning? You know, there's some things that aren't our strengths, but in our service, we can become in a place where Jesus can meet us there because it's a servant heart. I was talking, Kimberly told you that we were talking about this message yesterday or this morning, both actually. But she said to me this thing she'd heard in another sermon, so I'm going to copyright it, me. And it was this, is, you know, if Jesus was actually only about you operating in your strengths, David would have been a worship leader. But he's not. He was a king. Because what was David? He was a servant. Yeah. What do you want to be defined as? Not your strengths, but as your service. Wow. So good. I know I'm not done yet, but I'm getting there. Okay. We need to submit my weaknesses to him, him being Jesus. We need to submit my weaknesses to him, because then it can't be me being independent. It just is me being so dependent on him. There are some services, you know, from different churches, you know, at different churches, or I want to say this politely to everyone, but sometimes we walk in here and I'm so dependent on God to show up in some things. Because our resources are decreased, or our numbers are decreased, or my prep time was decreased, or these things were decreased. But God actually loves to reside on your weaknesses, because he loves to be in a position where he says, actually, it was me. Spend some time in your life searching for what your strengths and weaknesses are, and then get over that, okay? Because God hasn't called me to my strengths and service to men, but he's called me to my total service in him. God has said to submit my weaknesses to him and operate from that place. In that place, I become no longer dependent, but so dependent on him. It's easy to give my strengths. It's easy to give my strengths and actually never serve. Some of us are calling serving something it isn't. The best way I can think of this, and I don't mean it this way, but this is just the best way I can think of it. Oh, here's a better way. There's some people who like to talk from the platform, and we could, and they're good at it. They're great, good MCs, you know, we could give them a platform, but sometimes that's not actually them serving anyone but themselves. And God's not in the place where you're serving anyone but yourself. He's in the place where you're serving everyone but yourself. Paul made himself anything. He actually put everyone as a priority and a purpose over himself. This verse was heightened to me. I apologize if this offends you, but I have to say it. This verse was heightened to me years ago about drinking beer, because I like to drink beer. I really like to drink beer. But when I go out with someone that I've never met before and I don't know, I will wait and see what they order. And if they order a beer, I may order a beer. If they don't order a beer, I won't order a beer. Because I don't want to be the place where they can be offended, or the place where they can be hurt, or the place where they can have an issue with something that I never meant for it to be an issue and never knew it was an issue. Because I make myself not dependent on the things that I want to do, but dependent on the opportunity to influence what someone else could have. being right teaches me nothing, but being wrong and failing can teach me so much. Serving out of my weakness teaches me way more than serving out of my strength does. I penned this to Twitter comments because Twitter's all the rage. I don't have Twitter. I don't think. I don't know. This is my tweet to Jesus. No, Jesus. I'm strong in my strengths, not my weekends, or not my weaknesses. Smiley face, hashtag logic. Jesus, tweet back. Nobody. I don't know why this is how I hear it, but this is how I hear it. Nobody. Your strength is in me. Irrelevant of your strengths and your weaknesses. Hashtag told you so. My strengths can be a trap to my service. And my service can actually be the key to my destiny. Paul is all things to all people, not so he can be anything in and of himself, but rather so he can break through everything that is self. Your service is a breakthrough. And if we think about the concept of our lives being in a box, the weaknesses and the things that we're not good at sit outside of that box. Which means when we serve in those capacities, they enlarge our box. And there's some things that we need to enlarge our box to, because when we enlarge our box, it actually increases our influence into other people's lives. There's some things that my service and my tribe will do that will break through for other people. So here's the third element to this. So we have, you know, though I am free, an understanding of who I am. So Paul's made a decision to do something because he knows who he is. If Paul did all this change without knowing he's free, he moves back into the law, which doesn't work. What do I mean by that? If Paul doesn't know he's free, he's just following rules. And following rules does not increase impact. Following rules is not the gospel of grace. Following rules will not get you where you need to go. You need to understand that you are free from that platform of freedom. Do you then change yourself? Not because I am making you, but because you are changing you. If I made you into something, that would be you are no longer free. But you can't actually do that in the gospel of Christ. It's not, it doesn't work. So though I am free, I have made a decision to change who I am, to not operate on my default, to not let my default decide my destiny, but let my decision decide my destiny. I have made myself to the third point in the same verse, is that I might. Let me say that again, that I might. Though I am free, I have made that I might, by all means, with some hope, save some. I talked about how we sometimes have an easy time being sacrificial about our job or this or that, but the reality is everything comes down to that purpose of that I might. Man, I'll make all of these changes in the world because on the other side of that hindsight of what I see in the back, it was all worth it in the end, because that I might becomes our purpose. With reason, we make ourselves adaptable so that we can be the place of freedom for someone else. Paul has not made these decisions on the premise of fitting in. He's got a purpose that has very little to do with himself. His purpose is to break through someone else. I am free, or though I am free, I have made. It is your decision and no one else's, because it negates the first one otherwise. People are there to encourage you, support you, suggest to you, point you, but all in the end, it's that I have made a decision to not let my strengths define my service, my weakness define my service, but Christ define my service. That I might. That for some reason, in some worth of this sacrificial living, in some worth of this change, in some worth of this breakthrough, that I would have an opportunity to influence someone's life, to get them to the start of that cycle, which is that I'm free. There are a lot of things in our world that are trying to tell us are free, that we are free, but when you start to look at them, you realize it's not the freedom it's you signed up for. It's actually a really common trait of the devil. The devil likes to make you think that something that is very good, right, logical, is good and right. And it appears free, but it's not free. It's not all it signed up for. There's these barriers and these boundaries and these restrictions and these issues that you didn't encounter on there, but it appeared like it was going to be free on that side. Pastor Kimberly brought this up to me the other day, but it just points this out well. So I apologize because I know it came from another conversation somewhere else. I shared a message years ago, about being planted in a church. And if we think about a tree, that you're in a pot, and the pot can be restrictive, and it can be safe. And the devil shows you that it's safe. He never shows you it's restrictive. And there's these things in our world that tell you you're free, but what they're saying is you're safe. They're just not telling you it's restricted. We make these changes so we can see, no, it is freedom. It is breakthrough. It is an opportunity to be somewhere that we haven't. Now, I already said this, that unfortunately this talk hasn't really been a very breakthrough, if I can say that again, in the realm of coming to Jesus. This doesn't sound like a very great, Jesus loves you, and that's where you want to be message. Not to say it's none of that, just to say it sounds a little harder. It doesn't sound super easy all the time, and it isn't. But it is the best. There is something on the other side that is far greater than you're ever going to discover on this side of it. There are relationships in my life that would not exist without that. Revelations, or what I mean that is faith and opportunity and understanding to go to places and accomplish things that I would never have encountered before. I actually very recently came to this conclusion when we were away. And I'm sorry that we keep bringing this up. It's not meant to be prideful or anything like that. But I don't have a clue why anyone would fly me across the country to do anything. It's way cheaper to hire someone there. Significantly cheaper. I'm not very good, and that's not self depreciation. Is that the right word? It's not meant to be that. It's like I'm pretty good, but I'm not like great. It's not worth that. I would never pay for someone to do that. But Kimberly was telling me she was having a conversation with the owner. I wasn't there. I was at the venue working, but she was having a conversation, and she said something about that the thing that caught her attention, because I worked with her a year ago, was that she asked me to do something, and I said, I'll take care of it, and I don't remember the conversation, I don't remember what happened, but she said that was the moment where she realized it wasn't someone putting something else on my plate, it was someone who would take it off of my plate. And I talked to Kimberly about this after, because I realized a lot of times I don't necessarily see the difference that Christ has in my life, but that moment I suddenly saw the difference Christ had in my life. Why am I getting flown there? Actually, because of something Jesus has taught me. Not because of my audio skill, but because I've been in a place where I've had to confront things that I haven't had to confront before. Yeah, actually, to be entirely honest, I got the opportunity to do audio because I was a 12-year-old kid in church. What other person would let a 12-year-old church or 12-year-old child touch $40,000 worth of gear? I don't even let my wife touch my lawnmower. Yeah. And it's not $40,000. But there are some things in the house of God, and there's some things in relationship with Jesus that are intangibles that even we can't always understand. Even we can't always articulate, because it's not something we innately know until we encounter something different. And I promise you this morning, I'm going to take a moment, we're all going to close our eyes, and I'm going to pray, and I'm going to give you an opportunity to meet Jesus. Yes, I know it sounds funny, because he died many years ago, and he's not going to walk in today. Definitely not white with a big red beard. I don't know, that's what I've seen. Blonde? No sheep? You won't meet him like that. You'll meet him here. Many of us have made that decision. Many of us have met Jesus, and he's taking us on a journey. You're not sitting in a room of perfect people. You're sitting in a room of messed up people. We just have Jesus who's helping us along the way. Why don't you close your eyes? I'm going to pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for this opportunity to share your word. God, I pray more than anything, God, that people hear you. I really don't have much to say. I really don't have much to offer. What I do have to offer is you. And I pray, oh God, that that is what's on offer this morning. With every head bowed and every eye closed to protect the privacy of everyone in the room. If you are here this morning and you say, I would like to meet Jesus. I know I've been a bit of a funny or obscure preacher this morning. Hopefully not what you expected. But still, I have one priority here this morning is to let you meet Jesus and to let his presence speak. If that's you this morning, I'm going to ask in a moment that you would raise your hand so I can identify it and I can include you in the prayer. After the service, I'm going to resource you with something. I'll bring it up to you. But if there's anyone here this morning, we won't take long, and you are saying, hey, Pastor Josiah, I would like to meet Jesus. Why don't you raise your hand now? We're going to give it 30 seconds. It's not my idea to manipulate or convince you, because in the end, if I manipulate you, you'll walk out here and it will be unchanged. The only person who actually can do this introduction is Jesus. We might not always understand what that is. Sometimes it feels a little different. Sometimes the encounter is a little different for you, but it's just Jesus who can speak to you. I can't save you. The church can't save you. Jesus can. Anyone at all? Give it 5 seconds. Excellent. God, I thank you for everyone on their journey. I thank you that you meet people where they are and that we're all on a journey together. Be with everyone this morning as they leave this service, God. Let them leave here challenged with a desire to take action for change and more in love with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
My goodness. How great was that? I left my journal at home, so these are my notes. How many people take notes like this? How many people this is causing them anxiety looking at this right now? Yeah. Sorry about that. And there's so many good things. My default will not determine my destiny. My decision will. What? God is in the place where you're serving everyone but yourself. Okay, so good. Okay. If you ever want to re-listen to a message, we do podcast our sermons online, just so you know, c3church.ca. Announcements today. I'm going to work backwards on my sheet from the things furthest away. C3 Canada Conference, all the C3 churches in Canada, we get together for an amazing time. It's going to be in Toronto this year, September 19th through 21st. I'm mentioning that because I believe early bird registration cost ends this month. And WestJet's been having some crazy sales over there. So C3 Canada Conference, if you're debating it or you're interested, do it and we'll help you figure out the rest. I know a lot about Airbnbs in Toronto after researching accommodation. Next up, how many people know we are planting another campus in Vernon? It's really been a great excuse to spend more time at a coffee shop called Ratio, because I feel like I'm investing now in the future of our church and into the economy that God loves there. So C3, there's going to be an interest meeting. We're going to hold an interest meeting in Vernon, June 5th at 7 p.m. at the Best Western. I had a little card in my hand. I left it on my seat. It's a Tuesday. But there's a little card with all the information on. If you want to come out just to support the church, that would be awesome, because part of the reason we're having this is to show people in Vernon who we are. And if you're interested, definitely come out. And if you need to carpool, we'll figure that out as well. So June 5th, 7 p.m. After that, we have Strong, a women's event, a women's gathering. It is going to be so awesome. This has been something strong on Pastor Kim from Kelowna. I know that gets confusing. On her heart, it is going to be so much fun. Registration is $89, but that includes accommodation and food. So come on. And it's a great place to stay. We're staying at the Castle. That's June 8th and 9th. there are only 6 registration spots left. So you should get on that. You can register online, or please ask Tammy. She, like, knows everything about this. So talk to Tammy if you have any questions or interests. Ladies, this is going to be good. It's going to be so good. I'm very excited. And finally, next week, Equip Night. Pastor Dave's going to be here, 6 p.m. Going to be awesome. So much happening in our church, hey? Thank you for coming out today. We love you. We will see you next week.